see anybody here for public comments. And MSA is missing in action, so we'll skip that and go to discussion on rezoning of 508 North Calhoun Street. So I spoke to the listing agent last week, Eddie Mullins, and who was supposed to be here but is not. And he is wanting to know if we could recommend to the board about rezoning that to R3 from R1, so that way somebody could come in and put a duplex there. It is surrounded, there are duplexes right there by it. That property's been on the market now for over 380 something days, and they're thinking that would help get the property sold to the property owner. So does anybody have any thoughts on it?
What was the address?
508 North Calhoun. It's a vacant lot.
Do you have your map, like the one with you?
That's right. It's right there.
I want to see what it's on.
No, actually, Greg.
Yeah.
Just the guy from
north,
MSA.
Just back this way a little bit in the north.
Okay.
Going down by to Mary's.
Yeah.
There's the duplex. Yeah, there's a house, there's a single family on the corner that has a duplex. Lot and a duplex.
Okay.
And actually, I think there's another duplex down the next block over.
There's a couple of duplexes over there.
Mm-hmm. So I was paying attention, but I wasn't. So what is there right now?
Just
empty lot. Okay.
It's an empty lot. There's no utilities run to it at all.
Okay.
Now we have had several phone calls in the last few months that Matt Graven has redirected people to call me about putting mobile homes and even tiny homes on that lot, which is a no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's in the ordinances that it can't happen. So I am not opposed to it.
A duplex.
A duplex going in there, since there are already duplexes around there.
So what I'm confused about, because there are duplexes around there, we're talking about somewhere in this area, and there's nothing else that's R3.
Go to this tab right here.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's because everything else, it's zoned all single family through there.
Yeah. But
then how are there duplexes?
That's what I'm...
They've been there for...
Yeah. Ever.
Before ordinances.
So I guess really we need to ask Mark Miller.
So then it comes into this issue of spot zoning.
Yes, that was going to be what I was going to
bring up. And that's what came up last time too. Because
it seems odd to just zone one lot
and
change one lot.
So then it would be finding out where all the duplexes are and changing all that zoning.
What makes sense in that area.
Right.
But...
Because right now, as it's written, you could not come in and put, that was kind of their plight, but you could not come in and put a
duplex. Yeah, because it's R2 there. Over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
My question is, this is totally off subject probably, but how is there not stuff run to that lot, I thought? I mean, is everything not established until somebody...
there is a sewer line out there.
Okay.
There is a water line, but it's all terminated.
Okay.
Nothing, from what Matt Graven's told me, nothing goes onto the property.
Until somebody it happens.
Yep.
Okay.
So do we just continue the discussion until we can get the village attorney here? And
like I said, too, there was the meetings and everything was all held on that stuff. The previous owner, I probably got my notes, but was here and wanted to do the same thing. And
was the last name Kane by chance?
They don't sound right. He was an attorney, I think, actually.
Well, this one, go over to the scroll down on that. Keep going.
I'll get with Eddie Mullins and have them get the owner to come up to the next meeting then.
But like I said, there was, of course, we had to advertise it and everything. And there was probably four or five residents that came.
Okay.
Opposed to it because, it's all residential. Even though there's duplex there, it's all zoned residential.
Right.
And I think the thought was, whenever those duplex, anything had ever happened to them, they would revert back to single family housing. But there was, there was some pushback on it. So.
Okay. How long ago was that?
Well, he put it up for sale right afterwards. So how long has it been said? Over a year on the market. So it's probably a little over a year ago then.
Okay.
As far as I can remember.
Well, I say we continue the discussion when we can have Mark Miller involved, the village attorney. And also the current property owner, which I will get in touch with Eddie Mullins, the listing agent, this week. And
506?
Find out. What's that?
508, 506. It was rezoned from R3 to R2. Is that the same one? March of 2013.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changeover in the residents over there, too, since then. I wonder... Several of those properties have sold, so. So the only thing we can do is put it out there.
Yeah.
So we're saying that everything over there is residential, single home dwellings, and the stuff that's already there.
Oh, 2012.
Was like grandfathered in or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, because it's zoned R2, but there are duplexes next door.
So that's the issue: is if you wanted to buy that property and go in there and build a duplex, you couldn't.
Okay. And if something happens to the duplexes, we don't want there to be duplexes
right
there again.
And it's been my understanding as well that they have had a couple people inquire about the property, but because of the current zoning, have walked away from it because they couldn't.
That
so,
was, yeah, March of 2012, I guess.
Okay.
Non-conforming.
Now, I wonder how many of those over there already have non-conforming use.
The duplexes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they all are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something else I need to get more clear on is how do we access this data of what's what, because I have asked a couple times and not gotten anything back. So I'll make sure to have Mark Miller here at the next meeting and hopefully Rob to verify where some of the, like with the whole pre-annexation agreements, some of that stuff's already been done, but where are those documents?
Or find them.
Yeah, where's that data at? Where can we see that? So, but anyways, I'll go ahead. Can I make a motion, Chairperson?
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to continue the discussion of the rezoning for 508 North Calhoun Street to R3 until next meeting.
Second. Yes.
Okay.
Second. Okay. Cool.
I think all that has to be advertised too, and everything. You should, yeah, you know, public hearings and all that too. So.
Okay.
Has there ever been anything on that lot? I'm just I'm
not that I know of.
No,
I don't think there has ever been.
Okay. It's just weird. You know, it's just one of those grown that nobody's got.
Into a lot in town, like
yeah.
That, yeah. Not too many much.
So, does anybody have any new business? I have something that I would like to address. And I really need, once again, Mark Miller to be here to tell us kind of what our rights are on this. There's a couple people that are on the board. One of them has already said on our planning zoning board that has said he was resigning. I've never gotten his letter from of resignation from him, which is Bryce Smith, or the book back. And also, I have met Frank Norton one time. So we don't have a set of bylaws that would state if you're absent with no good reason for X amount of meetings that you can be removed from the board. So someone else that would wants to be active on the board, which there is another person that has interest, could be put in that position to appointment by the village president. So, did you guys, before Jamie, have a set of bylaws in place? I know the library board has these bylaws. I believe the village board has these.
Not that I know of. The only thing, like I said, the old books, but I don't know if it had anything.
I think it would be in the best interest of the planning and zoning board to, once again, get with Mark Miller and have him set up a set of bylaws.
I bet some villages might have, you know, you might have access to
and
them.
He has, he works with enough villages that
he works with a lot of municipalities,
that he would be a good advocate on that, and he can also get those taken care of. The second thing is, Jamie, have you spoken to Frank at all?
Not since the when they had the old folks home deal.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to him.
I want to continue the discussion with the village president and the village attorney here about getting those two folks removed from the board and getting two other people in here that have an interest in the community, mm-hmm. that would like to serve on the board. Noah Ruggieri came to me and has expressed interest on coming on the board, and he lives just across from Woodworth Trucking, I believe. Back there, he's lived there for, I don't know how long his name was in town. Noah Ruggieri.
Okay. Yeah, I think I heard the name.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't know how if you knew.
No. I honestly didn't realize he lived on
there. Okay. And then if you guys have any ideas of anyone else, bring those folks up and have that conversation with them and let them know we're looking for one other person or two at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know if those two guys you guys were talking about earlier, they've been. I mean, I'm a new.
Not
new
since
to this
you've
too,
been here.
But I just say I don't think I've seen either.
So
Bryce is probably the only one might have, but I don't think he.
I don't. Yeah, Bryce is. I had spoken to him a while back on the phone and via email, and he just had a lot of stuff going on with
yeah.
his kids playing ball, travel ball, and stuff,
oh,
and
yeah,
he just didn't want to make the commitment, which is fine. But to have them in two seats on here, we can't move forward with a full board. So, if somebody wants to make a motion to discuss that next meeting, that'd be great.
I motion to add a discussion around planning and zoning board bylaws and expectation of board members to the next meeting's agenda.
Then all we need is a second.
Second. Now, is that something that we would call them before this all happens to say, hey, we implemented something new and or
I would just say, if you know someone might be interested, say, hey, we got a couple spots open. Are you interested? Just to see who's interested for one thing, I guess.
Right.
I was kind of implying the two people that you might remove.
That is something we'd have to talk to the village attorney about
right.
because,
yeah.
I mean, I've heard on other boards where if just you don't show up, you're automatically taken off the board. I believe the library had something similar to that happen here recently, and they removed that person with a unanimous vote because they had not been there in, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And then they replaced them the following meeting.
Cool.
So.
Did, when they combined the two boards, do you know if they even contacted Frank or they just put him on?
Rob did, and I believe he came to the very first meeting, and that was it.
Frank?
I believe he did.
Okay.
Because, well, you know what, maybe he didn't, because I delivered all the books initially when Brandy got them printed.
I said, last time I seen him up here was when we were, when they were discussing the housing over there, and he came up for one of the meetings, and I sat back there with him, and but that's when we were trying to get a hold of him and everything, and I no one could get a hold of him, so I finally went over there, and he said he was receiving all the emails and stuff, but apparently wasn't answering or something. I don't know.
I knocked on his door several times, and I've called him several times.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Frank's got health issues and stuff, so
right.
I'm
Is
sure.
Is that the one? I mean, older gentleman that moves real slow. I mean, no.
Yeah, he broke his neck. He's a young kid.
Okay.
And he's been using a walker now.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard getting around with a walker now, but.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think we have a pretty good board right now, and with two more full people that are, committed to it, I think it'd be awesome, and we can move forward. And then the last new business is the on 900 road up just north of town, that little landlocked portion. I want to get Mark to get the paperwork together to go ahead and get that annexed in where the old area disposal used to be.
Kane Roofing used to be up there.
Yeah, I think it's 1001 County Road 900 North, I think is the address on it. And then go ahead and speak to him again about, because we really didn't get the process from him last time, about what we need to do as a board to start getting some of these properties, the annexation, the pre-annexation agreements in place.
We got talking about that before. One thing kind of popped in my mind, and it might be something mad or whatever, but there's several properties there, right? Like three of them, or two or three. The access road. Now, would the village have to maintain that and things like that? I mean, it's something to look into, I guess.
My understanding is yes.
So they'd have to go plow snow and things like that. And,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
I believe that that would be a question for Mark.
Right. And I like I said, I don't
township.
Know. I don't know how that's.
And that's why we need to get Mark in here, to, and maybe we need to have someone from the township come in to say, we'll take over these, we'll take care of these, you guys take care of these, until they are contiguous with the village.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know how that's set up now, that access road that goes there, if that's a private drive or if it's maintained, yeah. I don't think it even shows on the map, does it, how that's...
There's a map, right? I think it's on this one.
I've never been up there. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about, but is it just one business? Is there a couple of businesses?
No, there's
like a
back
car.
There.
There's like a car dealership uh-huh. back there, so, and then yeah. is there something in between them?
Yeah, right here it is. Yeah, there's storage units. And there's
okay.
a car lot back here. So all this. So this is actually a private road. Well, this little bitty stretch right here is a private road. This is the only way in and out. Is this one?
Right. You would think. I mean, if you know, I don't know how that can be private if everybody has access to it.
There's I believe there's a shared driveway agreement between here,
okay.
here, and this one.
So you think that's privately owned?
Yeah.
One? Okay.
Because I know area used to plow all of it, but
okay.
that's they're gone. So it's just this lot right here. This is the only thing that has not been annexed in yet.
Oh, really? This,
these? Yeah. So this is an older map. All this is done.
Right.
All of these are done.
Oh, okay.
It's just this one.
Okay, because that was the one that came in. He was from Savoy and didn't want to. Yeah, but I didn't remember.
Yep.
Just that part though.
Yeah,
okay.
This just shows the tip. That's all the pink is. The tip of the strip. Okay. We're supposed to be getting new maps sometime soon. They're going to hang them right.
Okay, cool.
Don't know when, but... Is there anything else? Is this waiting on a motion to adjourn?
Well, we got a set motion to
oh.
add that. First.
To add... Okay.
Okay. And... Talk about the next meeting, because I do have something going on September 3rd. I think it's 2 weeks from now.
Real quick. I'm going to propose a motion
okay.
to add the to discuss the annexation agreement of the landlocked area on 900 North to next meeting. It's agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Okay.
And
if that's when the meeting's got to be, that's cool. I
oh, here he is.
Who's that?
MSA.
Hey.
How are we
going?
Good.
Good. He needs an email address too. So when we're done.
I think I texted you about that.
Yeah, you did. We'll talk about that. Yeah, you did. All right, well, so MSA is here, so we'll go ahead and let them.
Sorry, I didn't realize you were meeting at 5:30 today.
It's okay. We were just finishing up our stuff, so it worked out.
All right, so I got three things to go over as we move our way through these different articles. So one's mobile homes. One is... parking, once landscaping. So we'll start off with the mobile home section.
Two different ones?
No, I think they're all the same. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
there's not a whole lot changed in this. It's kind of reformatted. I made a few changes to it. So if you go through the purpose, that purpose statement's still, that's the exact same as what's in your current ordinance. The use regulations and site plan submittal requirements, so that's kind of combined a few things. So that first section was kind of on its own, and then the site plan was a separate. So basically it's stating that in anywhere a mobile manufactured home park is located, a provisional use is required, and a site plan has to be submitted. And then it lists out the site plan requirements. I'm assuming nobody has any issues with any of that. So then if you go to the next page, and the formatting is a little off, I couldn't get rid of that page break for some reason. It kept messing things up. So development and performance standards. So setbacks. So this is for the individual sites. So the required setback for the manufactured home to the boundary line of the manufactured home site shall be front setback 25 feet, rear 10 feet, site setback is 10 feet. There was a statement in here about the home lot shall be clearly defined on the ground by permanent markers. They shall be posted and maintained in conspicuous place on each lot as shown on the plot plan submitted and is required herein so that each lot may be easily identified. I took that out. I don't know if you... The site plan requires a lot of that. I don't know if you want that kept in there or not.
What was it? What it say?
So if you go to page 5-22, current zoning ordinance. At the very top, under 1.1, the last paragraph. Every mobile home lot shall be clearly defined on the ground by permanent markers. They shall be posted and maintained in a conspicuous place on each lot as shown on the plot plan submitted as required herein so that each lot may be easily identified. I looked at the City of Champaign's ordinance, which this is based off of City of Champaign's, and they don't have that in theirs. I can't put it back in.
It's bouncing around, but Each home shall be provided an outdoor living area. I know it. I just do they do that?
What are you looking at?
11.13 development performance standards. It's like the fourth one down.
Yeah.
No, it's saying if it has an outdoor living area, and then that's what they want it to be.
Oh, okay, got it.
I mean, if the site plan has in there the lot, I mean, is that mean just pins like you would have on a normal lot?
Right. That seems pretty excessive for...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have a way of measuring out to see from a one specific area in the park, a benchmark or something in the mobile home park to be able to measure from. So, I mean, that's...
All right, then number two, I took out the maximum floor area ratio. I don't think that's, I mean, you have a minimum size for a single wide unit and minimum size for a double wide unit. I don't think you need the floor area ratio in there like you do in the other districts.
Right.
I
Does that fit, that 4,000, does that fit with the setbacks and everything? Does that work about right, or I don't know what a size of a mobile home, average size of a mobile home is. 4,000 square feet, the slot would be 4,000, that's 20 by 20.
I'm sorry, I have to use a Mac.
It's 400.
We'll blame Brian on that.
What I said was, I use a Mac, I don't know how to use your computer.
That may not have lots defined on it for that either, it may just show one parcel. Because those aren't owned lots, so never mind, that's what I showed.
I don't know.
You're right.
I took out 1.3 also, about the minimum lot width, shall be 40 feet. Again, within the mobile home parks, I don't know if you need to be that worried about the lot widths. I mean, I think you're focusing on the size of the manufactured homes and making sure those are meeting some minimums and there's overall setbacks.
And say your side, you know, especially your sides and your setbacks should kind of mean.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think as long as you get your setbacks and you got the minimum size of the manufactured home, everything else is going to kind of take care of itself. So I think this will simplify it a lot. One 4 in your old one, and then number 3, A3 on this one. So the manufactured home stand, anchor, and skirting shall be constructed in accordance with local building regulations and applicable state and federal regulations. I left it at that, and then took out some of the other wording that's in here in 1.4. The first two sentences were a little more specific. I think if you just state needs to be built in accordance with local, state, federal regulations, that should cover you. Same with 1.6 in the old one. I got rid of the first two sentences and just left the last sentence that I think covers what you need. Service buildings, accessory uses, simplified that a little bit. Have you had any issues with mobile home parks or anybody?
We have the one just south of town, that's it.
And we used to have one there. Can't think of that. By Monocles.
Oh yeah, by Monocles. There's a little.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's when the subdivision went through. Yeah, there was probably, what, 8
probably
8 to 10,
yeah.
And it just got ran down. And
was it one outside of town? Was that Tolono or?
Oh, that's probably
by the
township.
Interstate.
Yeah, it's probably
township. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was more of ongoing maintenance and
mm-hmm.
upkeep. Okay.
Yeah. And the subdivision, we had got bought it and got them relocated and got them out. So. And then he sold the subdivision.
Skipping down the size, density, and setbacks, I added, and this was something that was in the city of Champaign's, the overall density of a manufactured housing park shall not exceed 8 units per acre. Again, I think something like that covers you more than doing minimum lot widths and a lot of that other extra garbage.
I agree.
Focusing on density will take care of all the other stuff. The setbacks from streets, kind of simplified that from what is in there.
So we got rid of the arterial, the street classifications on there.
That's right. So should we do state highway?
Yeah, I would.
Interstate/state highway and at 45 feet still, and then maybe just do every other street 25 feet or 35 feet?
35.
Okay.
30 is kind of standard, and for houses anyway. Do we maintain that consistency or?
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Go 30, and then
yeah,
what
there.
About for state highways? Go to 45 feet.
Yeah, I think.
I think you 45. You'd want that.
All right.
Setback pretty good. Okay. That's easy enough. Landscaping, all that's not changed at all. Waste, changed that wording, simplified it quite a bit. Old wording had stuff about corrosion resistive metal garbage cans. I just put in, needs to be in watertight containers.
Right.
Streets, parking, lighting standards. I don't think there's any change for that. So utilities, no change. And then requirements for existing manufactured home parks. So it's the exact same wording, but again, things are getting moved around with this. Kind of redoing some of the sections. So before it was, this section came before everything else, now it's coming at the end afterwards. But everything's still the same.
Okay.
And I just have Article 12 highlighted because I'm not sure what number
that's
going to
be.
What
article that's going to be.
Yeah. No other concerns with mobile homes, was there? Okay. All right, let's move on to parking. This was Article 7. It's now looking like it's going to be Article 16. All right, so the first two sections, purpose and compliance, no change. This one I have tracked a little bit better than the mobile home one. I moved stuff around and was having trouble tracking everything. Site plan requirements. Not a big change. I just kind of tried to. So for some reason, for the access drives, the north arrow scale was required. It wasn't for parking lots, so I just put in both. And then parking lots, it talked about site plan should be drawn to scale, and then it didn't down below, so I just added that. The access drives, previously it was saying 10 copies of the site plan are required. I have no idea why that was in there. So I just changed the wording so both of these are the exact same, to where just a single site plan is required. And it will be reviewed and approved by the zoning administrator.
Can we change that to the zoning board?
So you want everything to be zoning board?
Yes.
Okay.
What's planning and zoning, isn't it?
Planning and zoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Change that, but I'll be able to do that. I think there's everything else is the same. Go to 16.2.8b. So it's going to have a table that kind of looks like this. So this section is talking about off-street parking facilities located within the zoning district that is on an accessory that's on another lot from where the principal premise for the principal uses in, and it's in a different district. So what other districts would be allowable? So the way you had it was for RS through R3, if you had, and this would be for a non-residential use, so it'd have to be a provisional or conditional use that's being done on one of those residential zoning districts. Off-street parking can be provided adjacent to that zoning district for any district. So if it's a residential in a commercial, next to a commercial business, you could have an off-premise parking lot there, or have off-street parking provided there. I took out, and it had the wrong zone. It had P1, which I guess that's supposed to be plan development, but I just took that out because that's going to be all handled by the actual plan development that gets submitted. I didn't have any changes to this, but I wanted to see if there was any interest in it or any concerns.
Really doesn't come up much.
Yeah.
Can you clarify parking in front yards? Possible to provide parking inside of the rear setbacks, parking of licensed vehicles permitted. Parking is located directly in front of the garage to be maintained in the front yard.
Great.
So the way that's worded, technically they have to be in front of the garage or driveway, even if it's grass, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Because there are some residences here in town that have their entire front yard covered with vehicles at times.
Yeah, that's R1, R2, R3, that's not allowable. Outside of that, for commercial or industrial districts, it has to meet the design standards then. So you have to meet your landscaping and screening requirements.
What does it say in Article 3 about commercial vehicles and home occupations? Does it specify? I don't think I've got it. Like if you own two trucks, two semi-trucks with 53-foot trailers, is there something in there that says you can't park two 53-foot trailers in the front of your property on a weekend? How is that incorporated in there to not have?
So on street or off street?
Off street.
Off street.
In an R1, or R2, or R3.
Yeah, that it wouldn't be in section 3, it'd be in this section. It would not be required.
Because it says here, commercial vehicles shall comply with Article 3 regarding home occupations under 16.2.6.
They're not allowed to park there.
I'll double check that.
Okay.
Okay. Section 16.3, parking design standards. Mm-hmm. Took out a lot of the language, just stating that it's gonna, you need to see Article 18 landscaping for all those requirements. All the screening and barriers are all covered by that section. Okay. Same lighting is covered in the lighting section. Let's see, 16.3.3 construction standards. City of Champaign for the base course had I went with what they had. They amended their ordinance a few years ago, so I updated this one to match it. I got rid of section B. Because I think all of that will be covered with your site plan that's required, that's submitted and reviewed and approved. So you ask for, throughout that full plan, you're going to be able to tell all those things. Dimensions for parking spaces and dimensions for parking modules. Same thing, I updated all this according to what the City of Champaign has now, and everything is less restrictive, not more restrictive. Uh, 16.3.16 handicapped spaces. I just put in there the one sentence that all off-street parking lots shall provide handicapped parking spaces in conformance with the State of Illinois Vehicle Code and Americans with Disabilities Act. That's that. Wipe everything out. That covers everything, and it's changing all the time, so. 16.4.4, required number of parking spaces by use. I updated quite a few of these, so everywhere where it talked about a parking space for employee, I took those out as much as possible and looked at City of Champaign to see what they had. And they had a lot of less restrictive parking requirements. It's gonna be impossible to keep up with how many employees are at places. So they, for grain elevator, they had none, that makes sense to me, I don't think you need to require parking for a grain elevator. So medical dental clinic, just went to a blanket one per 250 square feet versus how many exam treatment rooms and doctors and employees they have in the building. And hospital, nursing home went by how many beds they have. Bowling alley, just did parking spaces for each lane. Health club, one per 250 square feet. Bed and breakfast, we just have one definition for bed and breakfast establishment, so I just used that and got rid of bed and breakfast inn. And then did two per dwelling unit, plus one for each bedroom for a bed and breakfast use. The retail business use. Everything is one per 300 square feet except for furniture and appliances, even less at one per 400 square feet. Let's see. Car wash, I just went by number of spaces. Car wash, self-service, just how many stacking spaces per wash. Again, get rid of employees, same with service station, mini mart. Locating loading areas, got rid of that first paragraph. Your requirements for the site plan, take care of all that. Loading design standards, got rid of the last three. That's it for parking. Now landscaping, real quick, there was hardly anything with it that I changed. It looked really good. And have you been good with landscaping requirements and developers been good with what they need to do or?
As far as I know. Yeah.
So you have your screening requirements based on impact of use adjacent and then the impact it's adjacent to, and that determines what kind of buffer yard you have and how much landscaping that goes in there. I didn't have any changes to any of that, it all looked good. The parking lot perimeter screening, I changed that a little bit, so 15 feet. This is 18.3.1, that table, and I added it as a table. Trees per linear foot, 10 feet, I went down to, or I increased it to one per 25 feet and three per 25 feet. And then I don't know why it went up from 8 feet to 6 feet where you had less landscaping required. So I kept them, it's basically the same, so I kept them the same. And then 18.4.3, I'll need to change that to Zoning Board of Appeals.
I wasn't gonna throw you down on the ground and
Planning and Zoning Board.
I
stuff comes to me, that one could be the chairman shall forward application and arrange the meeting to the planning and zoning board.
That's a good idea. Okay.
Because a lot of stuff comes straight to me and then I can send it out.
Is there any administration? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we could also leave. You could leave zoning administrator in here, and then we have a definition for zoning administrator, and we put in there for now chairman of the planning and zoning board.
Right.
And then if you start getting if there's a high growth time and the village board wants to hire somebody temporarily or contract with somebody and appoint them as zoning administrator, it could be a real simple change.
Right.
Okay.
So I think we leave zoning administrator in here for a bunch of stuff, and we'll just define the chair as the zoning administrator for now.
Okay. Are we good? Okay, so I'm going to motion to continue our meeting with MSA till next meeting. Somebody? Thank you.
The next meeting will be at.
And then I'm going to motion to adjourn this meeting and continue on September 17th at 5 p.m. 5:30, sorry.
September 17th?
September 17th, which is the third Tuesday of September at 5:30.
Sorry, I don't know.
Seconded? Thank you.
Oh, seconded, yeah, sorry.
Thank you.